Morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. As BBM, Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. I want to give a big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations across this deadly country of ours, our Deadly Black Network, and a big shout out to NERS as well. Thank you for your support and allowing this program to go across the country. And look, a voice for our people, so do utilise it. A lot of our yarns we have on our First Nation radio station are not on mainstream radio, so it's a great tool, a great vehicle, and a space for our mob to have our say and talk about serious matters that concern First Nation people in all aspects of life, employment, education, housing, all the above, you know, and it's a fantastic tool. So do run with it. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We do have a text number as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. So either way, you can contact us and have your say and yarn up strong. And any topic, all is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Set up the program with Annie Wilmer reading. You can't be serious. I am.
I like to stand my ground like the next gal. You think you're better than, what do you think I am? You're just a moment in time with a partner in crime until I see you in the light and hear your voice upon the night. Don't be ridiculous, your talk is ludicrous. I came to have some fun, now you brought a gun, so shoot. You look delirious, can take you serious. Give your lies a spin while we let the truth begin. You're claiming amnesty, no, you can't hide it. See no integrity, no, I don't buy it. No mood for trivialities, you want us down on our knees. You can't be serious.
You can't be serious.
No, no, you can't be serious.
You can't be serious.
What am I doing here? Don't like the atmosphere. Digging for an ocean, only going through the motions. You think you know it all? You don't know it all. There are things I could teach you that ain't in your speech here. You really like to dance, now you've had your chance. Anything I can do to get further from you?
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. That was Annie Wilmer reading, You Can't Be Serious. Jazz singer and look, all the way from far north Queensland. And yeah, connection to me and my family, so fantastic. Good to hear a deadly voice and won many awards. Like to talk to who we're going to have a yarn with now here on National Talk Black. Don't forget, if you want to add to the conversation, deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And it's a National Talk Black 1 hour program. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. BBM Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, now, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and community leaders head to Canberra for Straight Talk, Oxfam Australia. So more than 50 First Nations women from across Australia have travelled to Canberra to learn about the federal political system while forming powerful networks at Oxfam Australia Straight Talk National Summit. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Anne Taylor and talk about this space. On the line, Anne, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. Sister, welcome to the program. Before we start,
thank you for having me.
Thank you, sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Okay, my name is Anne Taylor. My footprints lead back to Murray Island from the Dawa tribe.
All right, beautiful. A lovely footprint there. Thank you very much. Look, girls can do anything, and here we have a fantastic opportunity for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. community leaders heading to Canberra for Straight Talk. So enlighten us, please, about this space and about Straight Talk for our deadly sisters out there. You there? Ann Taylor. Oh, I lost Ann Taylor. We'll try and get Ann Taylor back talking about this fantastic space, very important space, and about the Oxfam Australia Straight Talk for our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander women, community leaders, and all young up there in Canberra. Guest speakers include Karen Diver, who was US President Barack Obama's special assistant to the President of the Native American Affairs. But we'll try and get Ann Taylor back and continue that yarn. Having dramas here on the phone at the moment, but we blessed are the flexible, is what they always say. And you can have your say and add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. And I also want to give a big shout-out to Waverley Stanley. I was talking to Waverley Stanley earlier today. He's about to go on stage and have a yarn to about 2,000-odd people, and he heads up Yallery. And Yallery is education for our kids, boarding schools across this country, and they all come from the different communities in our country. So big shout-out, Waverley Stanley. Hope you're well, my brother, and doing a fantastic job there and holding the reins there for about something like 11-odd years. We're going to catch up a yarn. We'll try again with Ann Taylor there, Ann.
Yes, I am. Yeah, sorry about that.
All good, sister. So let's talk about this space here, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, our community leaders, and Straight Talk. Oxfam Australia, please, sister.
Look, Straight Talk has been operating since 2009, led by Michelle DeShong in partnership with Oxfam, and it's about getting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women from across Australia to get a better understanding around the political systems here in Australia and creating opportunity, whether we want to become politicians or how can we use our new information to be able to influence changes in our own community.
So we've already had this this talk in Canberra, or were you about to do it?
No, I'm sitting at Parliament House right now.
Okay.
We're on our last day.
Okay.
And then most of us head home tomorrow morning or Saturday. So it's been a very busy, long period. We've had the opportunity to meet with several different senators and just learn their political journey, but also getting an understanding, a better understanding around the political system.
Yes.
And how do we leverage our new information or our current positions within our community to influence change?
Yeah, fantastic. There must be a beautiful buzz in the air. And looking lead our ladies in their community, front and centre there, there would be a bit of passion and, how you say, vision for those ladies to step into the political platform, yes?
Oh, very much so. We've got a number of women. One of our facilitators has run for the state in Western Australia. And there's a number of us that have identified, yes, that's where we want to go, run whether it's state or federal election. Or some of us realise, you know, we may not be comfortable to put ourselves out there, but really keen to work behind the scenes to support candidates moving forward.
Well, exactly, you know. And for those candidates moving into that arena, it is a numbers game, isn't it? If you don't succeed, then try and try and try again. You just got to keep knocking on the door and eventually a door will open up. But it is a consistency attitude, isn't it?
That's exactly right. But also learning how to leverage, your relationships and what space, when opportunities arise, lean into that space to help where you need to go to influence change. And, if you decide to run for election, these are some of the challenges or this is what you need to do. And we had the opportunity listening to Minister Linda Burney, the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, and also the Green Senator, Dorinda Cox. So hearing Dorinda's experience about, being newly elected, into the Senate and her experience and what she needs to do or the challenges and the excitement of being in a position of influence now to be able to, do the work she needs to do, not just for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but she also has an electorate that she needs to, her constituents that she needs to, work for, and, she needs to collectively hear their voices and advocate for them to change.
Yeah, fantastic. And this fantastic yarning, Straight Talk, you're saying, what, the fourth year has been running? You there? Ann Taylor. I've lost her again.
Hello.
Hello, Ann. You there? Can you hear me? Ann, you there?
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yamala, that's Yoti Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yanup Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Otherwise, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. Yanup Strong here on BBM 98.7 FM and our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. So do Yanup Strong here. I'm going to catch up Yan now with Deadly Brother Man and Miglu Brother, Kingsley Mortimer, who's with Safe Men. And we had a Yan on about 3-odd weeks ago and just touch and base again regarding this beautiful program. Good morning. How are you, Kingsley?
Hey, Trevor. Miglu Man.
Miglu Brother, white on one. The outside, black on the inside. To Deadly Brother. Look, good to see you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Let the mob know, Kingsley Mortimer, where do you stem from? And you're living up here in far north Queensland now.
Yeah. I was born in Darwin, actually, and my dad was in the Air Force, so travelled all over the world, actually, and spent most of my early life as a musician,
yes.
Working out of Melbourne, touring around with bands, and I've been up here for 10 years.
10 years. They said after two cyclones, you're local.
Yeah.
No?
I think you have to be born here to be a local, don't you?
Yeah, we claim our mob. All good, brother. Yes, good. Now, you head up Safe Men. Talk about this beautiful space. And it's like we as First Nation people, we have men's group. And you have an organisation called Safe Men. How did this all come about, and how important is this for our brothers to be involved?
Great. Yeah, it's called Safe Men, Safe Families, Safe Communities. That's our catchphrase. Mm. And we want to begin a conversation in as big a media as possible, you know, to be just bring as many people into the conversation that we can and from all different areas of society and all different communities. You know, there's a lot of really unusual ways that men treat women in Australian society. When I say unusual, it's not the way that
and that's black and white. That's all men.
Both black and white. Mm. It's not the way it was originally meant to be. You know, if we go in and look at you know, tribal culture, we see men protecting women.
Mm.
And we don't see that.
And that's our role. That's our job, isn't it? And that's sometimes has been lost, hasn't it?
It's totally been lost. We see the opposite. We see men perpetrating and, going after women and to harm them or to manipulate them. And we see that all the time. And even in the workplace, when it just comes down to workplace bullying, we see men doing that to women. Now, this is not a gender thing. You know, like whether you identify as masculine or feminine, that's a whole different subject.
Mm.
Now, what we're really talking about is the masculine, you know, like going after the feminine and not protecting the feminine.
Mm.
You know, and so what we want to bring up is conversations about this, about, you know, like making it more like not the pink elephant in the room.
Sure.
You know, we want to actually talk about this kind of stuff and see what we can do about it, because, you know, we are a really advanced society and we've got, you know, the possibility of not having a society like that, you know, where we can take all the best things of we don't throw out, you know, our tribal heritage.
Mm.
We take all the best things of that and bring that into modern society. And that's like what you said, we don't see that protecting that the masculine would protect the tribe as happening as much anymore. And so we want to see that happening.
So with Safe Men, you have, we would say, like yarning circles, you have meetings, but this is also open to women as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we want women to have an input into what this conversation is about.
Mm.
You know, I mean,
do you feel that may put a freeze or a fear of a man talking up while there's women in the room? Or
oh, definitely not. No, no. It's. I mean, there are organisations that are men's groups.
Sure.
And there's some really good ones around that are gaining a lot of traction and having barbecues and get-togethers and things like that where men can talk about things in private. I don't think what we're doing is more on a community basis.
Okay.
So doing it in media, on radio like this, having this conversation on radio and going into mainstream media, going into social media and having these conversations. So we're really new. We've just been doing this for a couple of years.
Mm.
There are a lot of organisations who are already out there creating great programs for men, and especially men who want to start working on stuff like domestic violence is the most obvious one.
Sure.
You know, and workplace bullying is a really obvious one too. And they all go in, you know, like I'm not categorizing them as same type of thing, but, you know, they all go into what we want to discuss and ways in which...
Well, to fix a problem, you've got to discuss the problem,
yeah,
don't you?
Well, you know, like a lot of people are still pushing this stuff under the carpet. A lot of people are still pushing under the carpet the amount of murders that happen in the home, you know, in what are supposedly loving relationships, you know, and most often the case is the man killing the woman in an intimate relationship. We see this way too much.
And if children, that happens, innocent people.
If that happens 100 times a year... In Australia, just in Australia, then that's 100 times too many.
Of course it is. Tell us about some of the activities that Safe Men do in that regard. I mean, do you go out and do camps, or you go out and do fishing trips?
Like I said, there's already organisations that are doing all that kind of stuff. So we want to set ourselves up in a place where we are out there in the media having conversations. Most importantly, we want to get people on board to be ambassadors and go out and speak in their own communities about what Safe Men, Safe Families, Safe Communities is about, having these questions. So some of the questions that we asked, and I asked you a couple of weeks ago and you did a little video for me, and we're going to put that on our site, is what is a safe man? You know, what does a safe man mean to people? Another question that we're asking is, when was the last time you felt unsafe? And we get really different responses from men and women. That's why men and women...
So that question is to all men and women?
All men and women. Yeah, that's why we want men and women at the table having this conversation.
And there'd be different response answer to that question?
Very different. What we're seeing is that, you know, women are like, this afternoon, I felt unsafe. Mm-hmm. Last night when I was walking back to my car, I felt unsafe. The average man will say, oh, when I was seven.
Yeah, back in 32. I just got back from Nam.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. You're coming off the football field.
Yeah.
But yeah, sort of thing, you know.
And so that's really important. You know, like that really hit me in the heart. And I was kind of like, as a man who's out there and supposedly wanting to protect society.
Yes. It's
and
not happening. Makes,
and women aren't feeling safe.
That's sad. Here in the 21st century. You know,
so wake up, men. You know, like you need to know this. We need to have this conversation because, men, your women aren't feeling safe today.
Exactly, exactly. And look, we as here we are, two men talking about this situation. We're virtually just slapping our brothers across the back of the head there. You know what I mean? In regards to, wake up to yourself.
Yes.
You know, snap out of it. Love and respect our women and treat them respectfully, you know.
Yeah.
I say even in a relationship, even in a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship or de facto or even husband and wife in relationship. I look at my situation, my wife is my wife, but I don't own her. You know what I mean? She's still an individual. And I respect that individuality with that person.
Yeah.
You know, it's leaving the egos at the door, you know, and leaving the so-called control of power. You know, it's a compromise in a relationship.
I'd go a step further.
Yeah,
you know, actually say that the man's role in a relationship, especially in an intimate relationship, is to totally give up themselves, to actually die to self.
Yeah, sure.
And do, you know, like the classic, love stories, like I would do anything for her.
Yeah,
you know?
and
that's really, I think, when it comes down to
it. And that doesn't take away your manhood, does it not?
I think actually enhances it.
There you go.
Yeah. If you asked women, I think they would be pretty happy about that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like I know if you asked my partner and said, if you just do everything
I
say, this is my partner, if you just do everything I say, everything will be great. You know? And you know what? It's like me, my immediate reaction is to, oh, no way, that's either, you know, I'll be really clever and say, oh, that's codependent if I act like that. But my ego is really just, like you
Bruce.
Said, my ego is just kind of like, oh, you're kidding? I'm not going to. But like if I do that, this is the thing. You talk to wise old men about this kind of stuff. And the men who do whatever their wife asks them to, happy life. They are happy people.
Wife, happy life.
And they're holding hands at 80 walking down the beach together.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's a communication thing as well, you know. If you're saying, do as I want you to do, and you're saying that puts a smile on their dial and makes a good relationship, you still also have to put in there, next week I'm catching the boys, we're going to go watch the game. Can I put that in the diary? You know what I mean? It's a compromise thing.
I'm sure that, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, and look, if you do everything that your lady wants you to, then she's going to give you the space to be able to do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she'll gift you with stuff that would be totally unexpected.
Yeah, well, if you're doing everything that you want her to do and also giving her the time to do what she needs to do as well, there's that respect thing as well.
Yes.
And it's a two-way street, isn't it?
It is.
You know. Yeah. I always say life is simple, people complicated.
We are pretty simple people, you know, like we're pretty simple creatures. We crave safety. You know, every politician goes after these things in their votes.
Mm.
Security, safety, you know, those two things are the biggest ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, like if we can, look, if I can, this is the thing, I only can look at myself in this type of stuff, and you guys out there all have to look at your own stuff. But if I can create the place around me as a safer world, then I am doing my job in this world.
And we all need to do our jobs, don't we?
Yeah, and look, there's nothing more I actually need to be doing.
Well, if we all do a little bit by picking up the piss of rubbish around us,
we're
going to have a clean world, sort of thing, you know, in your space. So with Safe Men, how do people get in touch with you? And is this only operating in Cairns or?
Look, we want to be a national organisation. We've got a website which is global, which is safemen.com.
You can communicate that way? So that's another way that our brothers can reach out by communicating, like you said, via your webpage or, you know, your email or Facebook or whatever the case may be. As long as they're reaching out, yarning to somebody, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And even if there's no face contact, you know, but you don't have to be sick to get better, you know, and you've got to change the engine of growth. And if you can admit to your faults, then you can fix it.
Yeah.
So that's a great tool. So you're talking webpage?
Safemen.com.au.
Okay, there it is. Safemen.com.au. Reach out and let's get the yarn starting. And let's empower you as the true warrior of the 21st century.
Come on,
beautiful. Kingsley, good yarn with you. Thank you for the yarn. Good to catch up.
Thanks a lot, Trevor.
We'll talk soon, my brother, eh?
All right.
Beautiful. Yeah, there it is. That's Kingsley Mortimer, and he's with Safe Men. So safemen.com.au. Do check it out, your mob, and reach out and have your say in Yarn Up Strong and use that tool to better yourself. That's what it's all about. Love and respect their beautiful women out there. After just having a deadly talk there with Ann Taylor, Oxfam Australia, and talking about straight talk, where our sisters travel down to Canberra and having straight talk in the political arena. So, look, that's fantastic. And then we get to have a yarn straight after with Kingsley Mortimer, Safe Men. So, look, beautiful balanced conversation there in both ends of the scale. Let's go to Warren. Grumpy man, black fella, white fella, give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dindji country as BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Queenslanders urge to keep us keep up to date with skin cancer checks throughout the cooler months. And new research reveals Australians aren't taking skin cancer as seriously as they should, with a third admitting to never having had a skin checkup. So while Queensland reports the highest rate of skin cancer in the country, over a quarter of Queenslanders never have had skin cancer checkups. The Banyan's healthcare group strongly encourages Queenslanders to make regular checkups a priority throughout the cooler months. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Andy Lee, a general practitioner at the Banyan's Medical Centre. On the line, Dr. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Dr. Andy?
I'm based at the Banyan's Medical Centre in Bowen Hills in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, all right, fantastic. Queensland. We are talking about Queensland's urge to keep up to date with skin cancer checks throughout the cooler months. Well, we seem to get a bit of lackadaisy in the Sunshine State regarding the powerful sun.
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's a big concern. At some point in our life, 2 out of 3 Queenslanders will develop a skin cancer at some point. So it's really important that every Australian, every Queenslander gets a skin check every year.
So with that and with this skin checkups, that's right all over the body. And regarding the checkup, how does that work? Paint that picture.
Yes, it is. So the doctors, and particularly skin cancer doctors, would do a skin check. We would examine every part of your body, head to toe, back to front, looking in between the toes, also behind the ears, also in the scalp. And it's really important. It takes about 15 minutes to do, but it's 15 minutes, which as part of your life, once a year, which could save your life.
And Dr. Andy, we're talking about you as doctors. What are you searching for, like moles or like different marks on the skin as such?
Yeah, so we get a history from the patient first about any previous skin cancers or any skin conditions they may have had in the past. And then we will proceed with examination. And we're looking for, in particular, asking patients about new moles, because that's really important, but also moles which may have changed. So any mole which has either changed in size, shape, colour, asymmetry, or even having an itch to it or becoming a bit sore, perhaps.
And what about First Nation people with the dark skin? Percentages are high with black people with skin disease, skin cancer?
Yeah, sure. In actual fact, people with darker skin have slightly more protection from skin cancer because the pigmentation does protect somewhat from skin cancer, but it doesn't eliminate the risk.
Sure.
So it's still important that Indigenous people still get their skin checks. And the reason for that is that because their skin is darker, naturally darker, it makes it a little bit harder for them to see any new lesions or suspicious lesions. And it takes an expert eye to identify those lesions.
Mm-hmm. And regarding general practitioners working with skin, do we have GPs working with their First Nation health organisations?
Oh, yes. So there's lots of GPs and skin cancer doctors who work with the First Nations people to do skin checks. And yeah, we're very familiar in examining patients with dark skin and also perhaps patients who have tattoos as well on their body.
Yes. And so when we're talking about going to your yearly doctor checkup, there's another checkup as well regarding skin. So we're talking about 2 checkups there?
Yes, we do. Yeah. So, as part of the annual health checks that you can get entitled for the First Nations people, we would also do a skin check, and as well as the other checks we would do as part of that.
Sure. So at least once a year we should be all doing that, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. So skin cancers can occur, any time. So it's really important because particularly, we can't check our own backs.
No, you can't,
but we can't see. So it's important that you go and see your doctor or skin cancer doctor and every year spend 15 minutes, as I said before, 15 minutes that could conceivably save your life.
Well, I suppose you can be proactive when you're going in for a doctor checkup regarding a cough or you're feeling a bit dizzy or faint. While you're there, you might as well do the skin checkup. That's possible?
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, if you're going for a particular problem for some other reason, then I would encourage patients to perhaps book a double appointment and use the opportunity to get a skin check at the same time while they're there for something else.
And the topic here, we're talking about getting a checkup through the cooler months. So even though it's cool times, the sun is still powerful, yes?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So the government announces a UV index every day, which in Australia, particularly in Queensland, the UV index never drops below 3. So basically all Queenslanders particularly are at risk of skin cancer. So it's very, very vitally important that because of that reason that they get a regular skin check.
Yeah, beautiful. A great message, and thank you very much for sharing, Dr. Andy Lee. All the best to you and your team, your staff. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much, and you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn there, Dr. Andy Lee, General Practitioner at the Banyans Medical Centre. And the message there is Queensland is urged to keep up to date with skin cancer checks throughout the cooler months. So because it is cool times at the moment, and especially down south, Brisbane area, and we were talking about Queensland, but even further down south, the magical orange thing in the sky is a very powerful thing. So you just need to take care of our skin and do your checkups, your normal health checkups, but also do skin checkups as well. That's the message there coming from Dr. Andy Lee. Have you saying Jan Armstrong here, National Talk Black. Daily number is 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. And Yarn Up Strongly here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can text us as well, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, To Daily. Going to catch up a yarn now with the Mayor of Yarrabah, Ross Andrews, is on the line. And just talk about, well, talk about youth crime and talk about and how the Yarrabah community is operating on the line. Rossi, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Trev. Morning, listeners.
And thank you very much. Mate. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Ross, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a Yarrabean, but my connection to country is to the Yalanji and Bukajangan.
Yeah, beautiful. Good footprint, my brother. So we're talking about youth crime. Look, we as black people, we are fed up with youth crime as well. And it feels like sometimes, well, a lot of our black kids are doing the crime, but there's white kids doing the crime as well. But either way, youth crime needs to be stopped.
Absolutely, Trent. Look, if we look at juvenile crime or disengaged kids, we look at it as a subject.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we experience the same level of dysfunction or disengagement as other towns and cities around the country. But, yeah. You know, the youth crime's happening everywhere, but, you know, we all got to work on solutions about how do we engage kids, how do we work with kids and parents, you know, to try and minimise all those risks.
Well, exactly. And look, I've always thought that there's kids out there having kids. That's another big problem. And I remember about, and it would have been about 10, 15 odd years ago, the government gave out monies for kids to be born. And that became like a financial vehicle, so to speak. But outside that, you know, and they also need the courts, the laws to change, if not, you know, because kids are doing crime, getting slapped on the wrist, and then they're going out doing the same thing over and over again. So there's got to be a better format.
Yeah, Trev, look, it's a really complex issue. I mean, you know, we have young mums and dads in our communities, and their parenting skills are really not, you know, mature enough as a parent. But we've got to work with a whole holistic programs, you know, around whether it's family well-being or whether it's youth programs that are in our communities or men's group or women's group. You know, there's enough, I believe there's enough resource in our community to really, you know, work together on it. I mean, it's a complex issue.
Yes.
And you know, the kids are, you know, being naughty in some areas, but they're putting themselves at risk, but also others at risk, you know, and we need to work with all the government departments, but also amongst ourselves, you know, as parents, as elders.
Well, it is a community thing, isn't it? It is a team effort, and we all need to get it together, so to speak, don't we?
Yeah, it's a whole community approach to it, you know. And so yesterday's promotion was just to make a statement, you know, that kids, we're not going to tolerate that anymore. Mm. You know, parents have to step up to the mark and take responsibility for your child's behaviour. And, you know, if you need help or you need support, well, there's programs around community that can help you, you know. I mean,
yeah.
There's enough. There's sports program, there's fishing, there's, you know, you can ride a horse, you can
exactly.
go to the youth program. So there's family well-being, parenting, men's, women's group. So there's a whole raft of support systems out
yes.
in the community. And if we can engage the kids in that way, we're only talking a handful of kids, really.
Well, exactly, yeah.
The majority of kids are really good kids. They're all good kids.
Of course they are. Just doing bad things, that's all. Good kids doing bad things.
Yeah, you know, they weren't born bad, you know.
No, I mean, that's right.
These kids are good kids, and we just got to work with them and work with the officials and you know, government departments about how do we prevent these kids from continuing to disengage, you know.
Can you shed some light on the... So you had a protest over Yarrabah, did you, in regarding had enough or all parents are throwing arms
enough.
In the air?
We had enough because Yarrabah kids, you know, as well as other kids, have been, you know, engaged in these antisocial behaviour. And we really want our parents and our families to take responsibility, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Because you have to look after the kids, you know, because... service providers are doing a good job. They do their best, you know, but if you can't engage the disengaged, well, that's a challenge.
Well, of course it is, you know.
It's only a handful of kids.
only a handful of kids, yeah, but creating a lot of mess, a lot of damage in that sense, you know. So there should be also a program to support the parents as well in this space. I always think of sports as a fantastic tool. Government should invest in, you know, to sign up playing basketball. I know here in Cairns, it's something like $250-odd, you know, and that's big money from a family, you know. If we had money that's paying for their kids to play sports, you know, idle time, idle hands, devil's playground. But if they're playing sports, they're active. It's team building. It's learning about winning and losing. Sports are good educator, is it not?
Yeah, no, it's certainly a good vehicle, you know, to engage the kids. And we've seen that through footy back yes. home, you know, that kids really love their sports. And but it is a challenge for parents to, I guess, you know, come up with the fees to engage them. But it's a whole community approach, you know. If we can do it as a region, not only Yarrabah, but as a region, you know, to try and work together with our regional bodies, you know, about all coordination, integration, service delivery, I think, you know, we can really guide these kids in a better direction.
We can. And when we talk about Yarrabah, look, it's a small Aboriginal community, well, one of the biggest in the country. But when you're talking about kids doing crime in a community like so, we would know the culprits, would we not?
Yeah, well, you know, Yarrabah's a small community, you know, probably the largest First Nations discrete
yes.
community in Queensland. But, yeah, you know, it's a small community, so everybody talks and, you don't want to profile these kids, but, you know, no. the families, but, you know, we know what's happening in their community and we want to do something about it.
Yes.
And the kids have to stop doing what they're doing.
Well, exactly. And we've been pointing the family at the child or at the finger, at the child or at the family. It's, hey, we're reaching out to help. We're not pointing for blame. Let's get it right so we don't do it again sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, we need to complement service delivery, I think,
yes.
with a bit of authority and a bit of responsibility. So I've been, you know, behind the scenes trying to work on the FRC model, you know, in terms of restoring some authority back in community where parents are held accountable as well for their child's behaviour. But that particular program is being reviewed. So,
yeah.
You know, I think, you know, you can splash more service delivery funding in there, but there's nothing to restore authority.
Sure.
You know, with our families and our parents and our...
Yeah, well, look, we're having this yarn, and across the country, youth crime has got to stop. But it's a team effort, black and white, government, private companies, whatever, families, men and women. We just all need to work together. But thank you for yarn, thank you for sharing, and a very good morning to your beautiful community there, my brother.
Yeah, no worries, Trev. Thanks for that, brother.
You take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
There it is, Ross Andrews, Mayor of Yarrabah, and just discussing youth crime, and they're doing their bit, and they're up in arms like all constituents are across this country. Youth crime has got to stop, and it's a very ugly thing, and it's causing a lot of damage and causing death in a lot of places, you know. We know of young people who've passed away because of youth crime, and we need to fix it. But that's Yarrabah as well in regards to their situation, and they're a black people who are upset and frustrated and over the crime as well. So it's not only a white thing, it's a community thing. And with that, very good morning, Yarrabah. And with that, we'll have Barry Cedric here, Yarrabah Rangers, beautiful community. To Delhi, BC. Thank you, Barry Cedric, Yarrabah Rangers. We've got Selwyn on the line. Good morning, brother.
Yeah, good morning, brother. Yeah, brother, you had two First Nation academics on Monday, the NDA or something, eh?
Yes.
And they're talking about culture. Brother, I go back to Neil Tupper. He's a boxer from Townsville, and I didn't know he was biracial Indian Aboriginal. There was a letter to the editor, and you had to go at, oh, yeah, he said something about something, and somebody had to go at him. Oh, you wasn't a black fellow, like Aboriginal, one time ago. But what that Neil Tupper said, I like what he said. He said, you know, young people in the streets, like in Townsville, even here, like kids from like the communities, like the communities, they got culture, brother. They got language, and they, you know, like I'm a black person, I gave language, and with those two academics, Native American, I think, and Mary, then they sort of take something similar, brother. You know, like I said, our people, they got language, they got culture, and there's three people that stand out as the frontman for Rumpy, David Goffel, and frontman for you got the Indian.
Yes.
The frontman for you got the Indian, brother. He's an academic. He's a teacher, and he got fame. He had money. They got land right. But he said on 7:30 when he was on his way to dialysis, where the Darwin Hospital, he said he drank too much, brother. And you know, people are saying culture is there. I said, no, brother, they can sober for this. No good having an anger management if they're still drinking.
Exactly.
But, you know,
good point.
They're getting a crap for the horse, brother. Brother, quick one on about this Ukraine and Taiwan, brother. And they're talking about could be a World War III, and because Taiwan want independence and Ukraine want independence. What happened in 1961, 1962? People know about the Bay of Pigs.
Yes.
And the Cuban Missile Crisis. Cuba wanted independence. U.S. sent CIA people in there, and they invaded Cuba. But they won. And they were sitting on the button then, brother. And because Cuba, I think some of them Cuban people, I think they do teaching down in New South Wales, some of the Cuban doctors. But they wanted independence. No, but U.S. I swear again, brother. They're such hypocrites, brother.
Strong.
And like I said, they sent CIA, it was called a Bay of Pigs. And the Cuban Missile Crisis. Thank you very much, brother. Okay, now.
Thank you, my brother. Someone, regular caller, having his say. It's time for Trendy Trev to sign off for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number 1-800-422-416.